Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is December 4th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Today's episode is going to be my recap of the game between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. It will be strictly about that game. I will have a separate episode up where I go over games around the entire NFL. Of course, there's some drama going on. Mike McCarthy's firing in Green Bay. Some drama regarding Odell Beckham and the onside kick in the Giants game. So if you want to hear about that, that will be in a separate episode. Feel free to check that out. This one is going to be strictly about the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. So to get straight into it, the Miami Dolphins defeated the Buffalo Bills in Miami by a score of 21-17. The first thing that must be said is a win is a win. That's always the philosophy, but it rings especially true after games like this one. In a league where there's only 16 games in a regular season, a single win carries a huge amount of weight. So I hope many fans will recognize that there is definitely that to celebrate over. On the flip side, there are such things as poor outings. There are games that should be won. In high school, when I played basketball, after winning a game when we played poorly, we would still have to run our sprints at the next practice. So yeah, the win was important, but our coach wasn't going to turn a blind eye to the shortcomings. So with that being said, I think that neither should fans when they look at games. So all that said, the win was great, but it's still clear that the team is far from a force. They're far from great. There are still holes that need to be filled. So let's take a deeper look at this one. As always, I start with the game ball, and the game ball in this game clearly goes to Xavien Howard, who had another tremendous outing. He had 4 tackles, 2 interceptions. He is now the lone leader in the NFL in interceptions. He single-handedly changed the outcome of this game. So the Dolphins defense as a whole had its ups and downs. They gave up 415 total yards, whereas the Bills only surrendered 175 to Miami. The running game was a huge part of the Bills' success in this game, but LeSean McCoy finished with 52 yards. So Josh Allen didn't. Wait, he did again? No way. Yes, folks, he did. Allen finished the game with another huge outing on the ground. Allen had 135 yards rushing on 9 carries. Just to remind people, Josh Allen is the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills had one of their best passing games, which isn't exactly too high of a standard to say. Allen finished the game with 18 for 33, 231 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So it wasn't mind-blowing, but it was still one of their better passing games, just because they've been so bad all year. This was the first game of Allen's career with multiple passing touchdowns, and overall, I was impressed with what I saw from Josh Allen. He was a player that I was very low leading up to the draft, but from what I have seen from him this season, he has been kind of shifting my opinion. He is in a terrible situation right now. He's behind a bad offensive line, throwing to a limited amount of weapons, and frankly, he is doing a pretty decent job. As a rookie, I have to applaud his effort. His accuracy in this game was definitely an issue. He missed some several key throws, including an open touchdown in the back of the end zone and an underthrown last-minute pass to Clay, which would have likely given the Bills the win. However, his ability to create plays was evident. On that last play that was underthrown, he kind of escaped pressure in a way that reminded me of Tony Romo in his prime. He located his receiver on a broken play, and he just frankly came up short. It was disappointing for the Bills, but it shows a flash of what could be. Now, the Dolphins' defense did a solid job applying pressure and limiting big plays. On several plays, though, LeSean McCoy took the advantage of the Dolphins' tackling woes, and he extended them. Xavien Howard, who I said got the game ball, got burned on a fly route that could have been a touchdown but was overthrown by Allen. And then earlier in the game, Minkah Fitzpatrick, he beautifully undercut a route, but he dropped an interception. So again, the turnovers saved the reputation of the Dolphins' defense and ultimately the outcome of this game. Overall, I give the defense a cautious pat on the back. It was an all-right effort from them, but the fact that one of the league's worst offenses came into their home stadium and were able to move the chains with relative success has me a little unconvinced and cautious. Now, for the other side of the ball, Tannehill, again, played solid. He finished the game 16 for 24, 137 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He connected with Kenny Stills on a 13-yard touchdown that could be considered two things. And one is that Kenny Stills did a terrific job on going back to an underthrown ball, or two, Tannehill was guiding Stills to the spot. And I will say that it was a mix of both. So that was a pretty good throw. After looking at the replay, it looked really nice. So he also connected with Devontae Parker on an 18-yard touchdown where he was hit as he threw. The pass was thrown high, giving Parker an opportunity to go up and showcase his amazing catch and traffic ability. It was a scene that kind of would hurt a Dolphins fan's heart, I think, because it showed that Tannehill and Parker connection, which will likely never reach the expectation that many had for them. And then Tannehill also had an interception where he floated a ball to safety Micah Hyde, as well as a sack which came very close to being a safety. So overall, again, it was a far from jaw-dropping performance from Tannehill, but that's what most have come to expect. It was really a handful of very good plays, a handful of cringeworthy mistakes, and then a whole lot of average in between. On the season, Tannehill's averaging 188 passing yards per game. Only two qualified quarterbacks are averaging fewer, one of them being Josh Allen with 153 and Josh Rosen with 167. Just a reminder, both of those players are rookies. Now we move on. Stills and Parker's did not reach the 50-yard mark I had projected for them. They put up 37 and 43 respectfully. It was still their best performance in several weeks. This game also featured a heavier dose of Bryce Butler than I expected. Butler finished the game 4 catches for 25 yards. In 2017, I referred to Butler as the best receiver on the Cowboys roster, and that was a team which had an older version of Dez Bryant on the roster. Now Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore both kind of struggled on the ground. Drake finished with 7 carries for 40 yards, including one big 20-yard run. Drake also finished with 13 yards receiving and a touchdown. Now, Gore kind of failed to really get anything going, racking up 21 yards on 8 carries. And while we stick to the running backs, there's a minor note here. On a 3rd and 1 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, an opportunity to seal the game, the Dolphins elected to run a wildcat direct snap to Kalen Ballage for some odd reason. I have no idea why this was the call, but no one was covering the receiver at the top of the play, and the defense went all out for the run. It was stopped with relative ease and would have been another play-calling mistake for the second straight week that could have cost him the game. It was kind of a mind-blowing call, a direct snap wildcat on a 3rd down. Didn't really make sense to me. And then offensively, overall, I'd say the team continues to play decent football at best. The play calling is dry and it results in a lot of drives dying out relatively quickly. But there are a few passes by Tannehill and catches by the receivers that gave you something to root for. And in this case, it was enough to get the win. So we go to my takeaways. My first takeaway for this game was that Xavien Howard will demand a lot of money, and rightly so. Howard has emerged as a top corner in this league. He still isn't a shutdown corner like Jalen Ramsey or Richard Sherman in his prime. Defenses don't shy away from throwing to him yet, which has kind of worked in his benefit as he's gotten 7 interceptions this year. So while the interceptions are pretty, he still gives up some big plays to the elite receivers in this league. Does that mean that I think that he can't improve to the point where he shuts him out? No, I think he definitely can get there. And I think it's better to bet too early than to wait until it's too late. So hopefully Miami's front office feels the same and they can work on a long-term deal. My second takeaway is that Tannehill has hit his ceiling and it's average. A common theme on Twitter during the game was the question, why are the Dolphins so boring? And one Twitter user responded, I can't find his name, I'm really sorry, but he said, because the Dolphins treat Tannehill like a rookie quarterback. And wow, is that true. Tannehill has great accuracy, a great arm, and a great ability to run. However, he doesn't capitalize off broken plays, he doesn't create plays on his own, and he doesn't have the pocket presence, and he really doesn't have the confidence to throw the ball downfield. He doesn't have that it factor that we hear thrown around so often, and it seems that Gase knows that and is limiting the offense because of that. I mean, just look at the yards per game. Only two quarterbacks have fewer yards per game, and it is Josh Rosen, and then it is Josh Allen. So keep that in mind. And then the last takeaway I have is that the best version of this offense will come when Drake out-carries Gore. Again, it's not a knock on Gore, but Drake is just more athletic, he's a better receiver, and he presents a bigger challenge to a defense. With so many offenses around the league capitalizing off using guys on rookie deals, it's kind of odd to see Miami be so stingy when it comes to giving Drake touches. And that was my last takeaway for this game, guys. As always, I would love to hear your opinion. Please like, share, subscribe. If you have anything, any opinions you would like to share that differ from mine or that you agree with, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter. That's, of course, at Shady Steven or at Via The Source. I will gladly love to talk to anybody who listens to the podcast. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.